Welcome everyone to Thrive, a cutting-edge radio show with a different point of view that promises to shed new light on your world in unique and powerful ways. I'm your host, Maureen Moss. As you will find out as you listen to each show, Thrive is more than a radio show. It's an evolutionary journey for you. Don't expect any aspect of Thrive to be typical, mundane, or rehashed. You will meet new people that are thriving, not merely surviving, in ways you may have never imagined and that you might choose to incorporate into your life. You will find ways to become abundant, to be in service, and ways to become involved with global projects that will expand your world and invigorate you while uplifting others. Also on this website, you will find many other options to help you thrive. Take the time to look around and listen. It's time for something new, and it's time for you to thrive. Welcome, everyone, from around the world. This is Maureen Moss. I want to tell you just a little bit about my guest tonight. My guest is Jeff Hoppe, or perhaps I ought to say Adamus Saint Germain, a spiritual master of ancient wisdom, talking about the year 2014 as a year of tough love. I heard Jeffrey and Adamus, actually, during a weekend live stream a couple of months ago called Pronost, an event created to assist and prepare humanity as they enter the new world, particularly during this unique year of 2014. Over the last few months, I've come to know Jeffrey, the deeply caring humanitarian who went from being a highly successful businessman to a man who followed the proverbial dots into his prominent mission in the world to awaken humanity through the messages and teachings of the Masters Tobias and Adamus Saint Germain. As a result of the teachings, both Jeffrey and his wife Linda formed the Crimson Circle, found at crimsoncircle.com, in 1999, a global entity committed to humanity's awakening consciousness, and they have traveled together over 1 million miles presenting the teachings of the Masters to tens of thousands of people. It's important to note that Adamus Saint Germain is a facet of Saint Germain, those known as the Violet Flame, and those known as the Oversoul of Saint Germain. Adamus' style is at times provocative and irreverent, which hopefully will be at a minimum tonight, though his wisdom and passion unstoppable in assisting those who have clearly chosen embodied enlightenment in this lifetime, yet are faced with a myriad of distractions and doubts due to mental programming and dense mass consciousness. Tonight, our conversation will be a bit different. I will speak with Jeffrey for a few minutes, and then Adamus will speak uninterrupted for about a half an hour, and then I will ask direct questions of Adamus after that. So prepare for a unique evening ahead, and I welcome you, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, and thank you for the wonderful introduction. It feels so good to be here with everybody. I love when a show is just getting started because I can feel all the energies of everybody moving in, and It's amazing. We were just talking before the show, you and Linda and I, and we're a little tired. We just got back from Cancun from doing a workshop down there. But, oh, my gosh, the minute we got on the phone with you and felt all the listeners coming in, I'm high.
Yay. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, I quickly said, and you might note that I got distracted for a second as somebody was passing me a note. It's important, actually, to note, Jeffrey, that Adama Saint Germain is a facet of Saint Germain of the Violet Flames Oversoul.
Yes.
And as this note was being passed to me, I got distracted for a second. And I wanted to ask you if you wouldn't mind explaining the difference to our audience of Saint Germain, you know, known to all of the Violet Flame, the Violet Fire, and Adama Saint Germain.
Sure, absolutely. And I think many, many people are aware of Saint Germain, an amazing being who really is in service to those humans going through awakening and embodied mastery. And the story of Adamas actually begins back when I was channeling Tobias. He was the first entity that came to me, and I channeled Tobias from 1999 to 2009. When Tobias announced that he was leaving, no longer going to be channeling through me, he was actually coming back to Earth for another incarnation. And he said, so it was his time to leave Crimson Circle. And he announced that Saint Germain was going to be taking over, working with the Crimson Circle. I would be channeling, but it would be a facet of Saint Germain specific for the Crimson Circle, specific for my channeling, called Adamas Saint Germain, or as they say in Europe, Adamas Saint Germain. And it's Saint Germain, but it's Saint Germain with a little attitude. And as you probably heard, and while Saint Germain is just a lovely, compassionate being, this facet of Adamas is working with us to really try to move us into our enlightenment, into our ascension. And sometimes people get a little stuck, or they wander off the path. And with this kind of provocative method that Adamas sometimes uses, not always, but sometimes, it kind of wakes people out of that lethargic state. It's very, very easy to get on the spiritual path and then to get a lot of distractions. So this facet of Adamas is unique to me in channeling. In other words, he made it very clear, I'm not going to be channeling as Adamas through anybody else. He doesn't want the message to be distorted or misinterpreted in any way. And he's very specific in working with Crimson Circle as well. And people I think I've been channeling him now for 4 years. I mean, he's entertaining. He can make people angry. Mm. He has tremendous wisdom. And at times he reminds me of the story of Jesus, Yeshua, going into the temples and turning over all the tables, the coin changers. Because he will just call, well, he calls it machio, and that's our spiritual distractions, or probably more specific, our spiritual BS. And he'll call people on it, and he does it ultimately out of love, but as a way of saying, you know, are you really going to hang on to this? Is this really going to bring you what you're looking for?
Yeah, I've heard Adamas, as you know, speak now several times. And he's called those that he speaks to masters because, as he says, only a master can be of service and everyone else is a servant. And I know some may have heard that and felt that to be a judgment or simply have misinterpreted that statement. What does Adamas really mean when he says that, Jeffrey?
Well, as a master, you really don't have an agenda. You can be there to help people, but you don't have an agenda about the outcome. You're there in true service, and you don't take offense if, you know, they don't heal or get better or anything else, and therefore you can be in that true service, whereas so many people are doing things in their lives right now that is of servitude. In other words, they feel that, you know, they have to do a certain job, they have to do a certain even a certain type of volunteer work or charity work, but there's kind of, they have an agenda to it, or they feel like they're subservient. They feel like they're stuck in this role, and a true master rises above that and is in service out of compassion, but without agenda.
And that's, yeah, thank you very much for, I knew that that's what he meant, and I think you and I have spoken about that, and I'm glad that all of our listeners around the world really, really can embody that in a different way now. Adamus,
yeah, it's kind of a harsh statement in a way, and I remember the first time it came out of my mouth, I thought, what the heck is are you saying? But as he explained it, I began to understand. And then you take a look at some of the masters or the ascended masters who are working with all of us right now, and they're doing it in pure compassion and service. They're not doing it in pity or they don't have an agenda for,
right,
you know, anything. They're just doing it out of true compassion and love.
Yeah, absolutely. And Adamus has unique spins on a lot of things, which I think is wonderful to talk about. Because, you know, as we know, people are subject to their judgments and interpretations. So what you just shared right now, I know, is very helpful. And another thing, too, and you and I have talked about this, Jeffrey, and are in agreement about, but I think also this is another thing that Adamus has said that people have had some judgments about, perhaps, and misinterpretations about. So let's clear this up, too. Adamus has spoken often about techniques and modalities not working to truly shift consciousness. So if not techniques and modalities, then what? And why does Adamus share that techniques and modalities really don't work in shifting consciousness?
It's more about that they ultimately everything you need is within you. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very easy to get distracted with modalities, products, items, holy waters or whatever it happens to be, and think that's going to do it for you. But Adamus is very adamant about saying, no, everything you need to heal yourself is already within you. He goes into details. It's something called the Anayatron. It's the light communication network within us. And he says the moment you start distracting and even taking a lot of medication, supplements, vitamins, or anything like that, you're telling your body that you don't trust it. You're telling your spirit you don't trust it, and it will back off out of compassion and let you do these other things. But ultimately, they don't have the ability to heal you, to balance you, or to even bring the divinity into you. Adamus says that the greatest level of distraction happens right before enlightenment. I visualize you're about to walk through this door of enlightenment, this threshold, and it's when the greatest level of distraction comes in, everything from Egyptian healing rods to alien agendas and everything else. Now, there's some value in those things. At a certain point in the awakening process, you start to realize that there's more than just what we perceive with our human senses. There's energy at work around us. There's something called consciousness always with us. And it kind of, though, some of these things help us to open up to realize there's so much more to life, but at a certain point, it's about putting these things down and realizing everything you need is already there. As a matter of fact, Adamus goes so far as to say that actually you already are awakened, you already have achieved enlightenment. But the moment your soul imagined it, it happened, it has happened. Now you are just going back through the experiences in your human form of how you got there. Mm. He calls it the Merlin effect. In other words, it's already created. It's already there. Now you're going through the tangible experience of what it was like to get there. You can literally choose how you want to experience getting to your enlightenment. Do you want to do it on your knees, suffering, with challenges and difficulties, tearing yourself apart? Or do you want to do it with ease and grace?
So that's a good point, and I think I don't think I can feel this. People that are listening to us, and I even had this question when I first heard Adamus talk about the supplements, for example, and oils, and I think people would find that a little bit challenging to really embrace. I know I did, actually. Because of evidence that shows that they assist in balancing the system. at times. What do you, or what would he say about that? I'll ask him directly.
I'd be interested in hearing the answer, but yeah. You know, and again, it doesn't make these things bad, but I think for every one of us on this spiritual journey, it's about asking ourselves, you know, how is this serving me? Is it serving me? Is it a distraction? Is it, you know, like the essential oils are beautiful, nothing wrong, but I've also seen people that put power into crystals, thinking the crystal has some sort of magic effect, and they have the magic effect. Crystals are beautiful. We have them all over our house. Linda loves them. She loves especially the kind that you wear on your fingers and wear around your neck, and they're amazing, but they don't have the power. You do.
Okay, is everybody's hair being raised now? Because I'm sure that there's a lot of exceptions to all of this. And as I look around and I see my house filled with crystals and have so much, I guess it's about the respect. Linda, you probably have this too. You love their beauty and the respect, and they do have their own power. Different, however, as all of it is, and the innate power that Adama speaks to all of the time, the power that we hold and we have within us. And actually, one of the things that I was actually going to ask, too, is, I think I'll save this question because it's about power, and I'll ask Adamas this later. Let me ask you this, Jeffrey. Why does Adamas refer to 2014 as the year of tough love?
He's going to talk about that tonight.
Okay.
But, he has some very specific words. He's telling me, Jeffrey, he said, let me talk about that. So. Okay.
All right. Well, how about this? Why don't we let I know that Linda is of amazing and enormous assistance to you, and she helps so much in bringing in Adamas. And I want our audience to know that Linda and Jeffrey work so closely together when Adamas or other angelic beings actually deliver their messages through Jeffrey. And as the channeler of the information, Jeffrey expands his consciousness actually into the non-physical realms and receives what he calls the thought packets. And he then translates the message into words. So Linda, sitting beside him, also helps bring in the message and holds an important energetic balance, actually, between the being that Jeffrey is bringing through tonight, Adamas, and the audience. And they have found that this approach really keeps the message clear and grounded, even as they venture, as you will see, into expanded forms of consciousness. So, Linda, do you want to kind of take it from here, and we'll let Adamas come in and speak, and I'm just going to be quiet.
Sure, and I just have one kind of funny comment to make.
Sure.
You know, we were talking about the crystals, and I have essential oils that go in my house because I love the way they smell and the sensory awareness that comes with them and the expansion. I love crystals, and my favorite thing about crystals is the fact that crystals are beauty created under energy, that in other words, under pressure. So when you think about the fact that a crystal is beauty created under pressure, I love that. Isn't that a great way to express what we do in our lives? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So much beauty. And I love them. They don't do anything for me other than make my house beautiful and just reflect beautiful energy. But they don't do anything for me. I do for them more than they do for me.
And you know what's so great? Before you do this, what I love is being able to have a conversation, be it a roundtable conversation like we had last week, or a conversation like this, where everybody doesn't need to be in agreement.
No, absolutely not.
The beautiful thing is that it's whatever feels the best for everybody else, whatever anybody acknowledges as so for themselves, so be it. And I know how I feel with and for my crystals, and the same holds true for my essential oils and or anything else. And I know that everyone listening does as well. The important thing and the reason, Linda, before we bring Adamas in, that I really, really wanted to have Adamas on was because I think in many ways he stirs the pot. And well, and in a lot of ways, he stirs the pot. And he shakes us up at times just to give us an opportunity for a different perspective. And as Jeffrey knows, I don't always agree with him, and you know that too. However, I do respect immensely the forthrightness and the wisdom, the innate wisdom. And I have listened with repeatedly, actually, with great respect, and it has shifted perspectives of mine in certain areas, and it's opened my lens of perception in others.
Sure.
So, and hopefully it'll do the same for many tonight. So with that said, let's bring in Adamus.
And it's ultimately, I think, his real goal is the self-empowerment, that, in other words, you really shouldn't give up who you are to anyone. It's about your self-empowerment on our journey.
Absolutely.
So with that, let's get Adamus in here. You know, we're true believers and truly feel into the conscious breath. And what that means is that all of us listening in, each of us, I invite you to take the deep and conscious breath. This breath is so important. You breathe in very deeply, not just into your throat and lungs, but all the way into your body. And you can feel this breath expand. And if you breathe really deeply, you can feel the energy flow with the breath. This is an amazing time because when we breathe, each of us, we're breathing in this now moment. The greatest potentials of all are in this now moment. So each of us, breathe deeply. And as you breathe, you can feel Adamus if you choose, if you dare. So breathe deeply and invite Adamus into this now moment. Feel it. Breathe it if you choose. Opening, expanding with each breath. Breathing, allowing, releasing, opening to this experience. Breathe and feel. Breathe and receive. Adamus, here in this now moment with Jeffrey, breathing for you. Each of us breathing. Feeling and allowing. Breathe. Connect with your soul. All of it a part of you in this now moment. Breathe. Breathe.
I am that I am. Adamus of Sovereign Domain. Adamus of Saint Germain. A delight to be here this evening with each and every one of you. I sit with you tonight. I'm just not just coming to you through this internet of yours, not just on a screen or through a speaker, but to everyone who is listening tonight and any other time you are listening to this. I am there energetically sitting beside you. I know you are going through an amazing process of awakening, of coming into yourself, of discovering what it means to feel that you exist. Simple words, I exist. But when you come to realize and feel what that truly means, that is enlightenment. When you come to understand the words, I am that I am, that is mastery. For many, many hear the words through their ears, but it doesn't ring deep within their soul, within their hearts. But when you come to understand the I exist, I am that I am, that is enlightenment. I sit beside each and every one of you because I understand you're going through this process of awakening. Difficult it is, challenging it is. The most challenging lifetime you've ever had, yes, including lifetimes when you've been warriors, when you've been persecuted, lifetimes of poverty, lifetimes of great difficulty, none are as challenging as this lifetime that you have chosen for your enlightenment. That is why I and many of the other ascended masters are here, not to tell you what to do, not to make your decisions for you, but to sit with you in compassion. For we know what you are going through. This is the grandest time of all. This is the lifetime of lifetime. And we are here. You are not alone. And to my dear Maureen, such a student in the mystery schools, I remember you well from several, but in particular a mystery school in the 1200s in the south of France. And you were always the one asking so many questions. You amused me a few times. You even angered me. But you were always asking the questions, wanting to know the answers, getting to the truth when many others just sat in the schools listening, sometimes half asleep. No, you were wide awake, wanting to know how the universe worked, how God worked, how you worked. And I've always applauded your tenacity, your curiosity, your desire to keep moving forward. And as I knew back then, someday you would be a leader. Someday you would be a teacher of others, helping them to discover the greatest gift they would ever know, the I Am presence within themselves. So let's take a deep breath and let's go immediately to the end of my talk. And then we'll come back to the beginning. The end of the talk is, this is the year of tough love indeed. This is the year, my dear friends, with the convergence of all the energies that you have called for. You have called for these energies to come to this planet. So they come from the core energy, which is that of your soul. They come from the crystalline energies, which are in some of the most creative places in the omniverse. These energies come in from the cosmic realms, other places within your universe. And they come from the earth realms. They come in answer to your intentions, answers to your demands that the energies be there. They come here to this earth at this time because humans are demanding a change. They're demanding something different. So these energies come into your life, and I call it the year of tough love because it all comes down to something very, very personal. You'll hear me talk this evening about some of the changes going on this planet, but ultimately none of those truly matter as much as the personal changes within you. What is truly happening here in this year of tough love is the compassion of your divine is coming closer and closer and closer to you. You've called for it. You've said it's time for the reunion of the human and the divine, the masculine and the feminine, the dark and the light. Yes, I did say that, the dark and the light, because neither the dark nor the light by themselves is complete. Both the dark and the light are elements of you, and even these come together in this sacred and hallowed time on this planet. So it is a year of tough love because as the compassion of the divine comes close to your, what you call your human 3D reality, that compassion does not allow you to continue going through the patterns and the repetitions that you have in the past. You see, it's so easy to get stuck in what you would call a rut, to continue doing the same things over and over and over again, as most of you, nay, all of you have done. Sometimes you continue repeating the patterns of relationships, the patterns of lack of abundance, the patterns of ill health in your body, the patterns of getting caught in your own mind. And you ask for help. How do I get out of this? And sometimes, oddly enough, in spite of the fact that you're searching for a way out, you just dig yourself in deeper, particularly when it comes to the mind, when it comes to the way you've been thinking, the way you're processing, the way you allow yourself to continue to be a victim. But this compassion of the divine comes in, and with that compassion comes such an intense form of consciousness and what you would call love, that it won't let you keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. You'll resist it. You'll deny it. You'll pretend it's not there, or you'll blame it on something outside of yourself. But the plain fact is that it's coming from you. It doesn't want you to continue repeating these patterns. It wants you to come into your awakening, to come into your ascended mastery, which means being an enlightened master in the physical body while staying here on earth, not crossing over to the other side to become the master, but doing it right here in this physical body. So this great compassion comes in, and it's a time for truly loving yourself, not just saying the words that you love yourself, but doing it. It's a time of no compromising, no compromising and no negotiating. And as difficult as that sounds, because you've been programmed to compromise everything in your life, to negotiate yourself away, it's a time of no compromising with yourself. You've done that. We've watched you. We've seen you continue to compromise with yourself over and over. Don't think in terms of other people right now. I'm talking about you compromising yourself, compromising your knowingness, compromising the love for yourself, letting other things get in the way. It doesn't mean you can't get along with other people. It doesn't mean you can't be a loving, considerate person. But it does mean going within yourself and stop compromising and stop negotiating yourself out of love with yourself. For this indeed is the greatest gift you can give to you this year, is loving yourself honestly and truly loving yourself. Right now, meaning today and for the next 2 days, many of you have felt a form of sadness. Some of you have felt disorientation. Some of you have felt like you're very ungrounded. But within all of that, a type of deep sadness. On the other side, we call this the days of the tears of the angels. Because so much will happen in this year, and so many humans will make it difficult, and many, many humans will suffer. And the angels who are with you always have tears on these 3 days because they know what comes next. They know many humans will choose suffering. Many humans will choose not to awaken. Many, many, many humans will choose not to love themselves. And many humans will choose to battle or to war with themselves. That is why there are these tears from the angels, because it doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't need to be that way for you. The basics of spirituality are absolutely simple, amazingly simple. The human mind tends to make everything complex. Why? Because then it feels like it's working and it's doing its job and it's been programmed that way. It will take the simplest thing, such as enlightenment, and make it very, very complex. It will have you wandering for lifetime after lifetime trying to find the answers and truth and yourself and love and all the rest of these things. But the fact is that it is very, very simple. There is a tendency to distort with yourself, especially in the awakening, for the mind, for what you, some of you would call the human ego, to try to take control of and manage this thing called the spiritual awakening. But my dear friends, keep it simple, keep it distilled. There is nothing to manage and control. There is absolutely nothing that you have to do. There is nothing that you have to study. There are no disciplines that you have to follow. The great masters who have now called the ascended masters found that out, and many times after great lengths of suffering. There's nothing you need to do, because enlightenment is something that is allowed. It is allowed. Enlightenment is not something you can study your way into. You cannot discipline yourself into. Ultimately, enlightenment is about total allowing. Now, that allowing requires full trust in yourself. Not even trust in the divine, because many of you right now don't even know what the divine is. You hear the word, you have a feeling now and then, but really there has not been a relationship with the divine. So it takes that trust, that inner knowingness that started you on this journey, coming back to that knowingness of why you've been studying spirituality, and then allowing, trusting and allowing. There's the tendency to hold back, to negotiate or compromise that allowing, saying, well, I'll allow a little bit. I'll allow just so much because I have to keep a constant vigilant guard at the door to make sure not to let evil and darkness and other people and my own flaws and weaknesses take the best of me. But the true master absolutely takes a deep breath and allows. Allows to the point where they would die rather than compromise, where they would die rather than continue on a path of needless searching, where they would open themselves up in total allowing to their divinity, nobody else's, not even some outside God, but to their divinity. It is so simple, my dear friend. It does not require suffering. It does not require being intelligent. It does not require studying for lifetime after lifetime, as so many of you have done. And oh, the frustration that I can feel from you and the anger that I feel from you at times. When will I get this enlightenment? When will I have this realization? And then when it doesn't come, you give yourself excuses for it. But the fact is, it's just about allowing. Your divine wants to be with you, but it will stand back out of compassion while you play games, while you pretend that you don't know, while you allow yourself to get distracted with this thing that I call makyo, spiritual distractions. Oh, and they come hard and heavy during the awakening process, particularly right before enlightenment. The divine will stand back for anything you choose to do as the human aspect of itself. It will stand back until the moment of allowing. When you take a deep breath, when you stop thinking about everything and worrying about everything and wondering about everything, and realize that the divine, that the I am, is here. It is here. And it wants to be with you. And it wants to be with you in your reality, in the earth reality. This divine wants to share this thing that you call your human body, this reality, this divinity wants to share this thing of an earthly experience, to be able to open your eyes and see a sunrise, to be able to embrace and hug another person, to be able to eat a fine meal, drink a glass of wine. The divine wants to be in this experience with you. The divine can never get distorted, or it can never get corrupted. It can't go through the weaknesses that you feel that you've gone through as a human. It can't get corrupted by what you would call darkness. The divine is pure, always has been, and always will be pure. It contains no energy. It is just consciousness. Therefore, it can never be corrupted, can never be taken away by another person. It is whole and complete, and it is you. So this thing that we call spirituality, it is just about allowing. So I started at the end. I said it's the year of tough love. It's the year where it's not about compromising or negotiating. It's the year where you're going to see everything you've hidden about yourself. And the divine is not doing this to torment you or to punish you. The divine is doing this to say, let's move beyond this. Let's stop holding these wounds within thyself. Let's stop considering thyself to be less than a perfect being. So it will, in its grace and its compassion, show you these things, not to process them, not to work them out, but to say, are you ready to move beyond? Are you ready to stop getting caught in these things? Are you ready to go into the adventure of the human divine, the very thing that you imagined so many lifetimes ago? here we are, 8 weeks into 2014. 8 weeks into what we call the time of convergence, and you already see what's happening on your planet. You're seeing intense historic weather. You're seeing civil unrest tonight in places like Venezuela and the Ukraine and the Mid East. There is civil unrest. There are people saying no more, and that's going to continue for this year. As a matter of fact, right now we're in the time of quiet, the time of mid to late February going into the early parts of March, where anybody who is perhaps feeling tentative about 2014, feeling as the energies were starting to come in, now they're in this quiet period and they're saying, oh, maybe I was worried for nothing, maybe I really didn't feel anything, but this is the quiet. What's coming to this planet are the changes, the very changes that you've asked for, and they come for a variety of reasons. There's a variety of major dynamics in effect, and I want to remind each and every one of you that these things that are, these energies that are causing the changes in the planet do not have to affect you in anything other than the most beautiful way. Yes, you may see other people going through their difficulties and challenges, but my dear friends, as walking embodied masters, if that's what you choose to be, these things do not have to cause you any fear. Understand that they are here because humans have called for a change. What we see right now on this planet is what I call a radical convergence of energies. Energies from coming from other dimensions. Energies that have been buried in the ground of Earth. Energies that are in the air. Energies that are coming from many, many other places, converging all at the same time. And that's why it's going to feel very, very intense. You're used to having things happen in your life. One thing here, one thing there. But what we're seeing here is a convergence of many things at the same time. One of these energies by themselves would not be particularly overwhelming, but when they're happening all in about the same time period, it's going to weigh heavy on many humans. But these things will cause the very changes that could ultimately make this the planet that you've envisioned, the planet of new energy, the planet of the new earth of compassion, where there are no wars, where there's no famine, where there is nothing but self-respect and honoring for each other and for yourself. Some of the main dynamics that are at work right now on this planet are a thing that you know of as freedom. For a long time, humans and angels alike have asked for freedom. There's a desire for this thing called freedom. And now the potential for freedom is truly here. But the question that comes up is humans truly ready for freedom? Now, most of you would immediately shake your heads and say, well, absolutely, everyone wants freedom. But, my dear friends, while some say they want freedom, others are not really truly ready to take on that responsibility for themselves. Even many of you listening tonight, you may feel the word freedom. You may feel it's such a good word. But are you truly ready to free yourselves of things like karma? Yes, there is no karma unless you allow yourself to be entrapped by karma. Are you ready to allow yourself the freedom of your own biology, where so many of, well, all of you have come from your ancestral biology? Are you ready to free yourself from your ancestral karma? You have your own personal karma, you've allowed it, but there's also the karma of your family. Are you ready to free yourself from that biological DNA and energetic lineage that has kept you from being truly free? Are you willing to free yourself from the very wounds that you continue to process, that you continue to victimize yourself with? Because true freedom does not allow victims at all. It is one of the greatest dynamics on the planet at this point. If you read the headlines in the news, you read the energy behind it, it's all about freedom. Whether it's a country, whether it's a race, whether it's you individually, it's about freedom. And ultimately, every sovereign being, every ascended master is faced with this question, are you ready for freedom? The next issue, predominant issue on the planet right now is that of power. You're very familiar with the word power, and it's an illusion. There is no power. In the truest sense of the word, whether it's here on Earth or in other parts of the universe, there is no power. It's an illusion. There is energy, of course. Energy is called forth by consciousness. Consciousness is at the core. It's what each and every soul being is at its core, consciousness. And that consciousness contains no energy whatsoever. The consciousness, the true passion, the true soul, calls upon the reservoir of energy that's everywhere around you, all parts of creation, to manifest its experiences. You call upon particles of positive and negative energy, and it then creates your reality. But there really is no power. There are beings who believe in power, the accumulation of energy. They believe in power over another person. They believe in power over themselves, or they believe that they are without power or need more power. But for those who are going through the awakening, they'll come to this point where they realize power is an illusion. And for those who are in the awakening path, they finally have to ask themselves, are they ready to get out of a power reality, a power existence? Are they ready to go beyond the need for power? And many of you will feel vulnerable because you'll feel without power. Others who have power are going to take advantage of you, but the simple fact is that they won't even see you. Because those who seek power, those who use power, those who manipulate power are only looking for other beings who are playing with power. They're not interested in you who would choose to be without power. The true master understands that power is an illusion. They don't need it. Everything they need is within. All the energy they need can be summoned forth from within and from external at any point, any time. So power, my dear friends, is one of the big factors that's facing the planet right now. The other large factor that's facing the planet, but specifically those who are going through awakening, is going beyond the mind, getting beyond the mental era. Ever since Atlantis, humanity has been in a mental consciousness, a mental era. But there is something far grander than the mind. The mind is a beautiful, wonderful tool for those who are in the human body trying to maneuver in a 3D environment, who need to have a certain amount of memory, a certain amount of recollection of their experiences, and a certain amount of the ability to analyze and make choices. But ultimately, there is something far grander than the mind. It is called the divine intelligence, or Nost. Nost is the divine intelligence. It is the answer before the question is ever asked. It is the knowingness that's there in the moment. It goes far beyond the mind, much more efficient in the way the mind works. But what happens with so many who are on the spiritual path is they use the mind to try to get out of the mind. They use the mind to try to analyze and evaluate spirituality and theology and the answers to the universe, and especially to understand God. And I can tell you now that you will never come to know God through your mind. You've tried. It doesn't work. You'll come to know God through experience, but not through the mind. You'll come to know yourself through the Nost, through the divine intelligence that goes far beyond the mind. But if you're working simply on trying to build your intelligence, you'll end up getting and staying stuck in the mind, going in circles, searching for something that cannot be found in the mind. For some humans, it is frightening to even think about letting themselves go beyond the mind because they're afraid that then they're going to go crazy. They're going to be locked in some asylum. They're going to be put on some type of mind drugs. But the fact is, my friends, if you can relax into your own ascension, if you can take that deep breath into allowing, you will go beyond the mind, not by studying it, not by forcing it, but by allowing it. And you will come to know this thing called divine intelligence. Each and every one of you has had an experience or two or maybe more with that. The answer suddenly being there, and it's not coming from some spirit guides. Actually, in the awakening process, you lose your spirit guides. You don't need them anymore because you come to take responsibility for your own divinity. You go beyond the mind into this thing called divine intelligence. It is the grand knowingness. But for some, it is frightening to think of letting go of that control and management of the mind. These are all great forces at work right now, and behind all of these dynamics that are coming to you and coming to these planets, the dynamics of this freedom and going beyond power, going beyond the mind, there is a dynamic of consciousness. Humans do not ask about consciousness. They don't put consciousness into the equation. Consciousness is not factored into science or math or politics or business. Humans go about these things, their day-to-day lives, in a very mental state. And the mind, the mental, does not have much consciousness to it. Consciousness is the awareness, the I am awareness. And what's happening on the planet right now is that there are a few, and will continue to be a few more, that start to put consciousness into the equation of their life. Something that you can do right now. Consciousness is awareness. Not thought awareness, but a sensory awareness. You can put consciousness into what you eat, how you eat. You can put it into your work, your financial condition. You can put consciousness into the equation of your physical body. It simply means to become aware, to allow the awareness to come forward. This is another great dynamic coming to the planet at this time, right now. Consciousness, awareness. In these coming years, you'll hear more and more about this, particularly from quantum physicists and eventually from scientists and eventually possibly even from religious leaders, this thing called consciousness. It's an amazing fact that consciousness is the underlying factor in everything in life, everything. But it's not factored in. It's not thought about. It's not talked about. It's not put into the equation of life. That tells me, should tell you, that life has been very mental, very linear. When consciousness comes in, it changes the old ways of doing things. So you see here you have a tremendous convergence of all of these factors coming in, called forth by humans, by you, called forth to come to the planet at this time. And as a result of that, in this year, you're going to see many, many changes. You're going to see changes in the financial structure. I've said to groups before that actually the financial system melted down years ago. It actually collapsed. And you say, but it's still there. There's still banks on the corner. I still have a little bit of money in my pocket. Yes, because the financial system is basically predicated on trust or on great need for trust and reliance on a financial system. But the financial system in the world right now is hundreds and hundreds, 500 years old, and it's time for a reform and a change. It doesn't mean we're going to be going to a communistic type of communal society where everybody has the same type of money, but the money, the balance of the money has been held by a few countries, a few companies, a few families, and it's time for that to change. It's time for those who are allowing financial freedom to have that financial freedom. You're going to continue to see Earth changes on this planet this year in particular, greater changes than ever before, because the Earth changes are a way of clearing out old energies, whether it's Earth changes caused by a flood or a volcano or a hurricane. These Earth changes clear out old energies and make way for the new, and that's exactly what they're doing right now. You'll see more and more civil unrest, particularly in the time frame of this summer, because there are people around the world who no longer want to be controlled by power, by politicians, by bankers, by corporations, no longer want to be held under somebody else's thumb. They want freedom. and they're going to demand it until the leaders who are dictators, the leaders who are manipulative, and the leaders who are simply there for the greed of their own group back down, go away, and allow true freedom to come to this planet. So civil unrest, you'll see it around you. Fear not, it's just about the change. You're going to see viruses in these next couple of years. Viruses, unlike the kind of cold and flu viruses that you've seen in the past, viruses that come very, very quickly, spread very quickly, and have no immediate cure. And these viruses are, once again, a way of cleansing. They're cleansing many, many old imbalances that are particularly in the biology. It's not God trying to express his anger with humanity. It is a way of clearing. And underneath these viruses, perhaps one of the biggest factors is that humans have accepted their ancestral biology. In other words, that body that you have right now, you're renting it. You're renting it from your ancestors. It's been passed along from generation to generation. It's really not yours. There's something called a light body that is yours, and you're going to begin integrating it into your physical body. It's going to change the DNA. It's going to change everything about your body, no longer having a predisposition to your ancestors' cancers or diabetes or other biological illnesses. And that's why this virus comes, and it's going to change the biological composition of humanity as it does. You'll see changes in this year, particularly in fuel energy. There is about a 25-year supply of current fuel energies on this planet. And the supplies are getting more and more limited because more and more developing countries are using fuel. So you're going to see crises arising because of fuel. But as a result of this, there's going to be intense pressure and potential to work on new energy solutions for this planet. Energy's everywhere. It's all around you. It doesn't need to come from oil in the ground. This dirty energy, as we tend to call it, that's come from the ground. It's prehistoric. It's ancient, and humans are still using it to power their society. But as the supplies run lower, there's going to be more of a demand to come up with new solutions. And I'm not talking about solar. I'm not talking about wind. I'm talking about free energy, possibly that comes from cold fusion, but potentially even something more sophisticated, free energy and abundant energy for this planet and for those who are ready for it. And finally, distribution in this year. Distribution patterns being disrupted. Right now, you rely on the fact that there's going to be groceries in the grocery store, there's going to be gas to fuel your automobile, that everything's going to be there when you need it because there's an elaborate distribution system set up in this planet, but it's very, very fragile. So expect that with the changes that are coming to the planet, there's going to be disruptions in some of the distribution. In other words, be prepared for whether it's a week or a month of that you may not be able to get some of the regular supplies. And I'm not talking about hoarding supplies. I'm not talking about building underground tunnels or anything like that, but distribution disruptions from time to time. It's nothing to fear, and it's certainly not something that's terribly expensive to do, but there may be times when some of the things you don't need are not readily available. It's all part of the changes that are coming to this planet. Particularly, you're going to see on the dates of April 22nd, on and around this date, not because of some alignment of planets, but because of this convergence of energies that are coming in. But you're going to see many changes start to take effect on or about that day. It doesn't mean that anything particular large is going to happen right then, but on that date, you're going to see changes happening on this planet very, very quickly. Particularly then coming to the dates of approximately May 9th and 10th, when you're really going to see things accelerating. It should not be a time of fear, but it rather, in a way, a time of celebration, that things are changing because, my dear friends, as I've told others before, perhaps the worst case scenario is that nothing changes. That nothing changes, that you continue going through the same patterns, that there continues to be the same corruption on the planet, that it continues to be violence and crimes, and nothing changes. That would be even worse than the changes that are coming. Changes that are coming are here in response to you, to what you've asked for. The changes that are coming, my dear friends, don't have to affect you, your life personally, directly. And that's when I come back to what I started with. It's the year of tough love. In other words, not negotiating yourself anymore, not compromising yourself. You already know what you want. You pretend at times to be that you don't. You pretend at times that you're waiting for the answer, but I contend that you already know what you want. You can feel it deep within your heart. You know when the truth is there. You really don't have to search for it. You already know. What you've been doing is compromising that truth and compromising the love for yourself, and then everything gets distorted and you say things like, I don't know, when indeed you do know. It's a year to stop compromising. It's a year to absolutely love yourself, to do things for yourself, to say no to others because others have been feeding on you. They've been stealing your energy, not because they're bad, but because they've been trained to do that just as you were trained to do it. To say no, no more feeding, no more taking advantage of me. And also with yourself to say no more allowing yourself to be the victim anymore. So your own divinity is going to be showing you the very things that have kept you from loving yourself because it wants you to love you. It wants to love you as well. So it's going to be bringing up the issues, not for processing, not for punishment, not for any type of suffering, but simply to say, are you ready to move beyond this now? Because your divinity is saying, I'm ready for you to move beyond it. Sometimes it's going to seem like tough love, but it is true compassion saying, let's go to this place that you've imagined. Let's go to the life that you've imagined. Let's go to this thing called embodied mastery in this lifetime. Let's take a deep breath with this year of self-love that's waiting for you. And with that, I'd be happy to take any question except about aliens, because you don't want to hear my answer.
First of all, Adamus, I have to say, not a moment of irreverence. My prayers were answered.
Well, then ask me about aliens. And
I already know your answer about
that. I'll tell you the answer before the question is ever asked. There is no being anywhere in all of creation grander than the human being. There's no being more intelligent, more sacred, or more divine than the human. Because you, as angelic beings, chose to come here to Earth for what is the most challenging thing that any angel has ever done, forgetting or losing themselves. And what you are doing here on this planet far surpasses what's being done anywhere else. There's no Palladian, Syrian, any other galactic being who's more sacred than a human. Love was actually first experienced, you could say, discovered here in this planet, not someplace else. That is why I say there is no being greater than a human being.
I am so glad that you said that. I am so glad that you said that. And I wasn't going to ask the question because I didn't want... Anyways, I'm really glad you said that and you shared that in the manner in which you did. Did you want to say something else about that, Adamus?
Indeed, it's very easy to get distracted, to believe that there's alien beings with superior technology and advanced intelligence, but there is not. There are intelligent races out there. There are planets or races that have amazing technologies, but they don't have the heart or the love that humans have. There is no being grander than a human. You are the ones, you angels that are here as humans right now, you are the ones that will go to the other places in the cosmos to teach this thing called love. Love surpasses any technology and any intelligence.
Thank you. I think that I don't think there could be a more powerful statement said to anyone listening from any part of this world. There's no being grander than a human. That is so profound and so important to take in and to really understand, isn't it, Adamus? For that, if we really get that, I don't even think we have to talk about self-love anymore, do we?
Indeed, and that simple fact should tell you how grand you are. You pretend that you don't know, you pretend that you aren't, but you are. And that's why so many ascended masters have come back, have incarnated again. So many others like myself are here working with you to remind you of this grand journey that you've taken and how truly sacred and blessed each and every one of you are.
One of the things I want to dig in a little bit deeper with, Adamus, is you covered so many points about what we have called forth to take us into our freedom and to understand about getting out of our power and not playing with power and going beyond the mental era. With all of that being said, one of the questions that rolled into my mind is, in this, the year of tough love that you've called it, another that we know calls it the year of the great unraveling, can you explain a little bit deeper even what each person, not each person, what we can expect personally that's going to push on us, if you will, so that we're aware, really aware, that when we are being pushed on, if you will, it's important that we become conscious of being conscious, as your friend says often, and that we stop in that moment to become aware of what is the ask in that moment that we're feeling so pushed upon. Can you talk to that a little bit more?
The push that any of you would feel right now is simply coming from the compassion of your divine. And it's actually not trying to push. It's simply, you could say, becoming more and more present. It's mm-hmm. always there. It's not like it's coming in from somewhere. It's simply becoming more present, or you're becoming more aware of it as you awaken. But in that, you could say that the divine, the compassion of the divine, holds a light on all of the things that you have not loved about yourself. It holds a light on all of the weaknesses that you felt within yourself and all the wounds that you've carried. It holds a light on things that you've hidden in the deepest and darkest places because even you aren't ready to accept them. A long time ago, Tobias made a statement. He said, the darkness is your divinity. And while that statement sounds a bit shocking, what it really means is the divinity is holding everything that you don't love about yourself, everything that you've thrown into hatred, thrown into this kind of spiritual landfill. It's held all of the things that you've not accepted about yourself, and it's held it in compassion and love with no judgment. Now, as the divine is more present in your life, you're more aware of it, you'll also see more and more of the things that you rejected about yourself, not so that you would process them or dwell on them, not at all, but simply so you would allow, so you could then move move beyond it, but you actually integrate everything about yourself. You integrate in this lifetime, you integrate every everything light and everything dark. You integrate all of your past lives. Everything comes in for that integration. You're going to feel a resistance to that. You're going to feel a resistance to look at things about yourself that you don't like. But it's not being put there in judgment or to make you suffer. It's being put there to say, can thy accept all things about thyself without judgment? And as you do, I would term it a miracle happen. When you accept all things about yourself, then you start coming to realize that the memories of the past, the wounds of the past, are not actually what really happened in the past. Your mind has a very interesting way of remembering only certain fragments or aspects of something that happened. It only remembers the traumatic event and not all of the other surrounding energies of that thing that happened when you were 7 years old or 12 years old or any other age. Suddenly, with compassion, with acceptance, you suddenly start to realize actually what took place was quite different than what your mind remembers. So that thing, that resistance that you're going to feel, is simply the compassion of the divine becoming more present in your life, asking you to accept.
Adamus, can you speak a little bit deeper also, and thank you for that, about the freedom that though we say we really want it, freedom has no history, really, with us humans, does it? There, in order to really experience our freedom, would you say that another term for this year would be the year of conclusions? And what would those conclusions be, if you would, that will lead us to our freedom?
There's different levels of freedom, and in one level, humans want the freedom to choose what colored socks they want to wear in the morning, or choose what foods they're going to eat throughout the day, or choose even the type of job they have. And some would call this freedom, but it's actually simply having just a little bit of ease within an otherwise difficult life. True freedom is not having to rely on anyone else for your abundance, for instance. In other words, not having to have a regular job. And that's a whole nother discussion we could get into sometime. True freedom is not having to rely on anyone else for anything, because it all comes from within. And true freedom is no longer playing the role of the victim of all the things that were done wrong to you in the past by others and using that as an excuse for not being who you truly are. True freedom is finally understanding that even the grand masters are no grander than you. And true freedom is ultimately, put in a very simplistic way, is ultimately even freedom from God. Now, God is a human construct that is defined by things like a male image, all-powerful, there's that word power again, all-knowing, all-seeing, and indeed God is none of those things. God has no power. God doesn't care to know all things, and God doesn't care to see all things. God doesn't really even know what's going to happen next. That's the joy of God, is discovering, just like you, what's going to happen next. But the humans have put themselves into a psychological and spiritual slavery by believing in some higher power, higher than themselves. And the true freedom is understanding, ultimately, that you are God.
I just finished teaching a class, Living as God, the Experiential Journey, and saying that very same thing. We are God. We are God. Another thing I wanted to touch on more deeply too is, I've heard you say this before, and there was such liberation and understanding when you said this. You might have said this in the 1200s when we were in the south of France, but I heard you say it recently too, that we're renting our bodies. from our ancestors. That is so profound. So we are going to no longer be predisposed to anything that our ancestors did. And then, of course, you spoke about the light body. And many out there may be saying, how do I get my light body? How do I get out of this rental and move into my light body? I don't mean for that to be an extremely long answer, but perhaps it would touch on to assist those listening.
Absolutely. It's as simple as making a choice that you're ready to honor, thank, and release your ancestors. And it's partly a matter of consciousness. Most humans aren't even aware that they're just accepting their ancestors' DNA and that they have their own light body. But for those who are listening here, you have enough awareness to now realize that and to say that you are a biological being, of course, but that you're now allowing the light body to come into your physical biology. As it does, it will cleanse or release the ancestral DNA components, and there are levels even far simpler, far deeper than DNA, but it will start to shift and release those. And in doing so, it's going to work throughout your entire body. It's going to cleanse old things from your body. There's going to be some times when you're uncomfortable, sometimes when you're down for days or even a week or two with what you call the flu or cold or some illness or whatever. But it's simply having the knowingness that, no, this is simply cleansing out the old so that the light body can come in. The light body is yours. It's already created. You don't need to go and try to create a light body. It's already there. It's your essence. And I don't want to say it's your soul, but it's like a reflection of the divine. And it actually wants to come into that biological being, but as long as that biological being is plugged up with all your old ancestral attributes, it really can't come in. But the moment you make a conscious choice, you thank your ancestors, you bless them. It's not about cursing them for your damn body, but you bless them. Thank you for what you've contributed. But now I'm going to take my own biological freedom and then take a deep breath and just allow it will happen. It will happen. It will start to come in. You don't need to go out and give elaborate courses on how to bring in the light body. It's simply a matter of allowing. And this is to the point here that this whole show opened up with about the Adamus factor. I do say things that are provocative and controversial at times, but when I say don't get caught in the distractions, because sure enough, just as I said, you have a light body that's ready to come in and you release your ancestral body, 25 people are already thinking about the course that they're going to design, the 18-part course that's very complex and that takes you through a lot of grid systems. That's bullshit, pardon the expression, but that is spiritual distraction. You can have a class, but it should be about 90 minutes long, and it should just be about allowing your light body to come in, and then you're done with it. Then walk in the knowingness that it's going to happen, that it is happening. I love talking about the act of consciousness. In other words, start acting like it, and then it becomes so. Start acting like your light body is there, and then it will be there. It's that simple.
How liberating. That's freedom.
Absolutely.
That's freedom. You know, one other question I wanted to ask you that was tied to the renting our bodies from our ancestors and the biology and everything else. God, I love that answer. Is you've also said that moving forth here, there's no more destiny. There will no longer be destiny.
No, there never really was.
Ah.
There never
tell us
really
about
was,
that.
But other than what I call manufactured destiny. And I'll go back to one of Tobias's brilliant statements. The future is the past healed. And that has many, many layers, and you can contemplate it for a long time. But basically, any listener's tomorrow was based on yesterday. In other words, you carry around this this karma. You carry around certain beliefs, and you carry them from lifetime to lifetime. So basically, this is the destiny package that creates your tomorrow, because you're carrying around these beliefs about yourself and your limitations and about life and God and all the rest of this. The moment you release that, the moment you say no more karma, I don't believe in karma anymore. It's BS. I'm letting it go. I am off that karma merry-go-round. You absolutely change your future potentials. There never really was a destiny. It was just a linear path determined by yesterday. It's actually, if any of you ever want to think of yourself as psychic, it's very easy to make a psychic prediction with humans, because it's like the weather. The chances are that tomorrow is going to be like today or yesterday. For the weather, two-thirds of the time, the weather tomorrow is going to be like it was today, so it's pretty more accurate than some psychics actually are. But humans are, they're in a linear rut. And I started out my talk by saying, I'm here to help kick your butt out of the patterns that you've been repeating over and over and over again. Dear Linda has a famous saying that say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. But no, you keep doing the things over and over, and it's going to be the same and the same. So I'll come in, I'll kick your butt, I'll provoke you. If I have to, I'll take you to anger to say, get out of those patterns. Stop the karma right now. The karma is an illusion, just like power is. And some people will fight me on that and say, no, you have to have karma. No, you don't. You can choose to be out of it today, to lead a karmaless life, and to lead a powerless life. You don't need those things.
And I think even more than that, Adamus, is that people would be saying, what do you mean there's not going to be a destiny? Then what?
Oh, you create whatever you choose.
There you
Let
go.
Others believe in destiny and follow that path of destiny. You here's the difference. You are surrounded by potentials. Imagine them as bubbles floating all around you. They're potentials. And you can choose any potential you want. You really can. There's no limits. Everything about the next moment is simply a potential. You're aware of some potentials that are very close to you, but what you're not aware of is the grand potentials that are also all around you. So the potentials are things that you could choose to experience. However, most people live by probability. In other words, something will probably happen. Probabilities are kind of like living inside a tube, a pipe. You're just following along in that linear tube, and what will probably happen tomorrow is probably what happened today. You're probably going to continue to be lacking in abundance a year from now or 10 years from now if you're in lack right now. Even though you say to yourself, well, I'd sure like to be abundant, you probably won't, because you're living in an old set of beliefs and limitations and feelings about yourself and all the rest of that, and you go to healers and readers and you get doused in water and you buy weird stuff and put it in your system because you think that's going to change. No, you're probably going to be the same. And I don't mean that as disparaging, but you probably will. I see it all the time. Until you say no more. No more of the same old way. No more limitations. No more lacking in love. No more staying in the mental constructs. No more, damn it. I'm not going to take it anymore. But then, when you say that, expect that change is going to come. And yes, you may lose your job, and your partner may walk out on you, and a variety of other things happen simply because you said no more, and because you're clearing out things that were limiting you. And you finally said no more, so expect some change, and then expect a demand and expect that things are going to be as you truly choose. Now, a little bit of a problem we have here, and with some of the listeners, I'm checking into your energies, you don't like making choices. you've been programmed, you've been hypnotized, brainwashed into not making choices other than what color socks you're going to make, put on in the morning. So you're afraid to make a choice, a big choice in your life. In other words, I choose freedom. I choose my own biology. I choose enlightenment. You think about enlightenment. You study enlightenment. You dabble in enlightenment. But few of you have said, I choose enlightenment, period. Or some of you I've heard say, I choose enlightenment, but, and then you add a bunch of junk to it. No, I choose enlightenment. So many of you are afraid to make choices. So what happens? Well, you're probably going to continue living a life of destiny and karma and limitation and lack and keep just wishing and hoping that something will come along from outside of you to change it. But no, it has to start right now with a clear, damn it, choice, a command, a clear command to yourself. That's why I started this show saying, stop compromising yourself, because that's what you've been doing. And you compromise yourself and then expect something to change. It's not going to. Calder is telling me that I'm talking far too much, but I'm having far too much of a good time being controversial and provocative.
No, I think you're doing great. I think we're all thoroughly appreciating everything that you're saying, and thank you, Linda. But
no, I said Calder. That's Jeffrey. That's his.
Oh, awesome. I thought you said Linda.
Oh, no, Linda is enjoying every moment of this. And
she's loving me.
And she's encouraging me to keep talking. No, Calder Jeffrey, it's his little pet name that I call him. Jeffrey is saying that I'm being long-winded, and he's saying that he's hungry, but that should matter not, because we're having fun.
We are having fun, actually. So I want to ask you... let me ask you, actually, really, this is a good last question, though, and then Jeffrey can go eat, and Maureen can eat, and Linda can eat, and
And I can simply just invite myself back on your show again.
And you are welcome here anytime, anytime. I'm not worried about you now. that's the good news. You are welcome anytime. So... We've covered a lot of ground, and actually, I could really talk to you easily for another hour and talk about the cycles that are closing in 2014, why this is all happening in 2014, in conjunction with your buddy AstroDoc, and all of the planetary influences and reasons and cycles and all of that, but then will be another hour. So I'm going to ask you if you will come back for another conversation. And let's just close tonight with this. Obviously, the name of this show is Thrive. Obviously, a lot of things have been said tonight and haven't been said yet, really, that are potentials for this year and most likely probabilities. And some may say, well, how am I to thrive through not let's just say the mighty shifts, interruptions, and terminations that may occur this year, along with the many birthings and blessings. How do I thrive no matter what?
Indeed, and a good question. This could be a very long answer. I'll try to simplify it as much as possible. The greatest thing that's happening in your lives, the lives of the listeners, this year, is not really about what's happening on the outside. These are just planetary changes that are taking place. And I want to make a statement here that perhaps does push the limit on things, but... it's not about, for you listeners, it's not about going out and doing social work this year, whether it's spiritual or cultural social work. It's not about saving the planets or the dolphins or the bumblebees or any of the rest of that. And it's going to be hard for some of you to resist it. You're going to want to save the planet. But I implore you not to. first of all, the shifts that the planet are going through are absolutely appropriate, and I'm going to ask you to look at them through the eyes of compassion rather than the eyes of things that need to be fixed. It's absolutely appropriate what's happening. You've come from backgrounds as being energy holders for this planet. You've done it in lifetimes with what are now called the indigenous people. You've done it in the monasteries and the convents. You've been spiritual energy holders even in the New Age. You've been used to doing that. It's your training, and it's been your service period, your service phase that you've gone through. You've moved beyond that now. You are literally now the energy movers and creators of this planet. But in order to thrive through this next 3 years of changes on this planet, it's going to be so important for you to take care of yourself, not to be trying to take care of everybody else. You're going to feel selfish about it. You're going to feel that you're going to do it just a little bit, but you know you're going to compromise. I already know, but I implore you to take care of yourself, to love yourself, to do the things for your biology, to love your biology. And I won't even get into some of that because that's for a whole other show. And I'm not talking about even trying to eat right. I don't like diets at all because they're, well, look at the word diet. It contains the word die in it. Listen to your body rather than diet. And it doesn't matter if you're vegetarian or vegan or you eat chocolate or whatever, just listen to your body. Take care of yourself. Make choices based on you. It's Linda likes telling the story that when you get onto an airplane and they're going through the safety instructions, they tell you if those oxygen masks come down, take the breath for yourself first. Don't try to save everybody around you because it'll kill you. Take care of yourself first this year. And I know you're going to be tempted to do everything else, but I'm going to come around and remind you to take care of yourself. That's perhaps the biggest thing you can do to thrive and to love yourself. Not just talk about loving yourself, but to honestly love yourself. And that includes all the things that you don't love about yourself. So that would be the most, the simplest, most important thing for this year and the next few coming years.
Thank you so much, Adamus, for that. Thank you for this entire conversation. Thank you for all the conversations that you have. I said at the beginning of this interview that I really, really became engaged with you during that amazing weekend live gathering that was streamed worldwide, and I know there's going to be another one. You shared that there will be another one, Pronost. Can you tell our listeners how, anything more about that?
I'll leave most of those details to Linda and Jeffrey. I just come in, they do all the details, but indeed what you're talking about was the Pronost event that we had recently, and Linda can give details for any listeners who are interested in that because it's still available online. But yes, indeed, it was an overview of a very detailed overview of this year, and with that, I'm going to sign out with my trademark sign off, and I want you to listen, all of you, to listen to it carefully as I say it, and then Linda can come in and give some details. By the way, delayed working with you again. It's been a long time since we were in the mystery schools together, dear Maureen, and I always enjoyed your questions and enthusiasm. And now for my trademark sign off line, all is well in all of creation. That, my dear friends, is compassion. And so it is. I am Adamus, in service to you.
And so it is. And we'd like to ask for each of us to continue with the breath, to allow yourself to breathe in what you felt during this experience with Adamus. To breathe beyond the mind. To allow the divine intelligence, the Nast, to fill you with each breath. To invite yourself to truly allow to breathe the trust of self for this perfect experience. Breathing in this now moment, allowing the beauty and the wisdom to flow within you, to expand out and to expand within. To breathe the conscious breath of your soul in each now moment. Breathe and receive this love of self. Breathe for you. Thank you. Thank you, Maureen.
Thank
and
you.
And thanks to Adamus, huh?
Yeah, right? That was fantastic. That
He's
was absolutely.
Character.
Huh?
He's the character.
Oh, he was a delightful character tonight.
Yeah, I enjoyed
in
him
every
too.
Way.
I enjoyed him too. Thank you. And you know, he mentioned the thing about Pronos came up.
Yes.
You know, you can go to we have a very extensive website with lots of different opportunities, lots of free things. The Pronos event, of course, is at www.crimsoncircle.com, and it's an online event, and people can go there. You just spell Prognost, and it's one of the online events. And there are going to be some upcoming follow-ups to Pronos, and I believe the next one is going to be in April.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, and everybody can find out about it on crimsoncircle.com.
Right. Exactly. And
fantastic.
We'll keep people updated. You know, we've got the free newsletter. There's all kinds of stuff that people can access if they choose. They just can go to the website, and there's a lot to look at.
There is a lot to look at, and I will also make sure that information is available through this website as well. And
great,
Linda,
thank you
again for being part of this conversation tonight. Thank you to our audience around the world for listening. It's always a pleasure to have your energy with us in all the conversations and the varying conversations that we have. And just remember to take good care of yourselves, love yourselves. That's what's needed this year for you and for all. Until next time, namaste.